here's a story from The World.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is the nation's top infectious disease specialist. He's helped lead the U.S. response to the pandemic through the low points and now the cautious return to some normal activities. But what's happening here in the U.S. is just a slice of the picture. Parts of the globe, namely India, are struggling with the worst outbreak we've seen. We met with Fauci on Zoom today to hear his take on how the globe is doing overall in trying to control the pandemic.
It's a mixed bag globally. For the most part, developed nations like the United States and the UK are progressively doing better and better. But as you alluded to, there are other countries that are in very difficult straits, including India, a large country of about 1.4 billion people, where they only have about 2-3% of their population that are fully vaccinated, and about 10-11% that have received partial vaccination. So we have a long way to go. It's a big planet. There are countries that are very diverse in their resources and their capability of responding to this outbreak. So we have a long way to go before we get the equity that's important throughout the world to get this under control from a global standpoint, not just an individual country standpoint.
I wonder if you worry that Americans, with all our optimism for a fresh start, that we may be missing the big global picture.
As long as there's disease elsewhere in other countries where you have viral dynamics that continue to allow transmission at a high degree in different countries, there's always not only the difficult time for the countries in question, but also the generation of variants, which can then come back. And even in a country that has the outbreak under very good control, it can actually set you back if you do get a variant that's not really covered very well by a vaccine. Thank goodness for us, and we're very fortunate in that the vaccines that we are now distributing in the United States and in the UK and in other developed nations handle the variants really quite well. For example, the B.1.1.7, which is dominant in the United States right now, is handled very well by the antibodies that are induced by the vaccines that we use. But that's not a guarantee that all the variants that might potentially arise are going to be handled as well.
And of course, so the point you're making is that as long as the rest of the globe isn't vaccinated at a high rate, we run the risk of variants.
That is true.
The hope that any subsequent vaccine is also robust enough to not be affected by that variant.
That's true.
Let's look at the global need for vaccines. President Biden has promised to send a total of 80 million vaccine doses abroad so far. But meanwhile, the vaccine manufacturer in India that much of the world was relying on has said it's stopping exports until the end of the year. Is the U.S. doing enough to meet the need in poorer countries?
Well, we're doing a lot. There's always can be done more. We would like to see other countries chipping in. As you know, we are part of the COVAX consortium. We have either given or promised $4 billion. We've given to India a considerable amount of supplies in the form of oxygen, oxygen generators, PPEs, antiviral drugs, sending advisors from the CDC to India. We are going to be giving by the end of June, the beginning of July, a total of 80 million doses. Obviously, there are other ways of getting even more done, and that is by discussing with and partnering with the pharmaceutical companies to see if we can get them to scale up their manufacturing so that they could supply billions of doses to the rest of the world, particularly those countries that don't have the resources to do so, but also to get involved in what's called transfer of technology to allow the developing world, certain countries such as those in Africa, South America, or in certain countries in Asia, to be able to produce vaccines that are made by the larger pharmaceutical companies that have already developed successful vaccines. So there's a lot of ways to approach this, and we certainly feel a commitment to help out on the global problem.
You mentioned conversations with pharmaceuticals to ramp up production. Are those conversations going on? And is there any timetable for a real accelerated production of vaccines to get around the world?
Discussions are certainly going on, as a matter of fact. And that's the whole purpose of it, to see if we can really scale up the manufacture of enough doses to the tunes of several billions of doses. We know from the pharmaceutical companies, Moderna and Pfizer, that have already said that they'd be able to do that in at least a couple of years to get up to a few billion doses. That's a very good start, together with all the other things that we're talking about.
I want to go back to variants for a second. India was swamped by a variant it couldn't control. Despite our improving vaccination rates, couldn't that happen here?
Theoretically, it could, but we are really quite fortunate in that the vaccines that we've used, particularly the mRNA vaccines, but also the J&J vaccine, are really good enough that they seem to cover the variants really quite well, if not for actual infection, certainly for the prevention of severe disease. So although theoretically it could always be a case where you'd get a really problematic variant, but thank goodness thus far that has not happened.
But a virus's job is to stay alive and to replicate, and that means to mutate. That means there's really no relaxing, right?
Well, the easiest way to relax is to stop the virus from replicating. There's a very firm tenet in virology that viruses don't mutate unless they're allowed to replicate. So if you can suppress to a great degree the virus replication throughout the planet, you would give the virus a very, very small chance of mutating. And within that scope, an even smaller chance of mutating to a variant that's problematic.
So that means vaccine, vaccine, vaccine.
That's exactly my point.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease specialist. We'll hear more from him later this hour, including his thoughts on whether it's safe to travel abroad.